The Lord doesn't do anything by mistake, and you're here for a reason today. And I tell you, it's just been so good just to be here this morning. The presence of the Lord, me and Brother Curtis were talking, the presence of the Lord has just been so real this morning. And I told him, I said, sometimes when you don't know what to do, that means he's up to something. And so I know what the Lord's laid on my heart to preach, but I wonder if anybody has something on their heart this morning. I don't want to blow past anything. I don't want to get in a hurry and miss anything this morning. Anybody have anything on their heart today?
That song that you played there, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that's what the world needs.
Amen. 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 How valuable prayer time is. Amen. 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 It sounded beautiful today. The choir sounded beautiful, and appreciate those young ones joining in and helping out. That's a blessing to see. Amen. Amen.
Brother, thankful for each one that's going to the choir.
Yes.
Everybody's welcome.
Yes.
If there's not room, we'll make room.
Amen.
There's room on the other side.
Amen.
So
we can have this thing in stereo. Amen. Amen.
Thankful to the Lord that we've got somebody
somewhere. Amen.
It allows
us to serve. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning?
Great blessing to see these young ladies and Brother Emerson join the choir and everybody.
Amen. 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 You're all a blessing to me. I want you to know that. I can't emphasize that enough. It's amazing how the Lord makes things and does things the way He does. Don't always understand things. And sometimes I feel like you just kind of get in and hold on sometimes. But I tell you what, the life of a Christian is anything but boring. I'll tell you that. If you really try to seek after Him and see what He's going to do next and watch Him and learn how to listen to Him and just commune with Him and have a conversation with Him and the relationship with Him, I tell you, it's a different lifestyle. It's a fulfilling lifestyle. I thank God that Jesus Christ made that possible. It wouldn't be possible without Him. Amen. Amen.
Preacher Jensen, I received a blessing downstairs with all the kids. They bent my classroom, and I was going to tell them, they wanted to be in the Christmas program. We'll never know how they're going to react. You know, some years they want to, some years they don't. So we just go with it. This year they're raising their hand and they're wanting parts. They already knew what part they wanted. Yeah. And it was just such a blessing that they're so eager to do that this year. So I'd like everybody in the church to start praying now for it.
Amen.
And the devil just stay out of it because he's going to get in there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's all be in prayer for our Christmas program because it'll be here before you know it. I tell you, leaves are already changing. It's happening fast this year. Brother Nathan, downhill slope like we were talking about July. Yeah, just like you said, we're getting there. Hard to believe we're just about a week away from the hurricane even. I mean, just even looking at it from that aspect, you know. Amen. Let's be in prayer for this. Any others this morning? Amen. Let's pray for our revival services coming up. Been in prayer, and I almost feel like the Lord is preparing us. To be honest with you, there is a sweetness. There's a sweetness of spirit. Just want to see that grow and continue. Amen. I do have about three announcements I wanted to make mention of just so we would have it on our radar. Now, next Sunday is communion. I wanted to share that with you. So next Sunday will be our communion service. Revival again is October 12th. That Sunday starting at 6 p.m. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. And I believe there's going to be some special singing. And I want to say this. Anybody in the church that would like to sing or do something, please do. please do. I always want to make that an option or make that available to you, because we got a lot of special singers in the church. There's a lot of blessings in this church, and definitely want to make that invitation to you. And also, I wanted to make mention of our upcoming baptisms. I'm trying to coordinate that and what I have so far, and I want to get with each one, and I've not been able to do that, but need to do that today if we can. Those that are here, who are here, we'd like to do that on Sunday morning, November 2nd, if that is possible. Sunday morning, November 2nd, that's the first Sunday in November. Have different things going on between now and then, and so I wanted to make mention of that. So let's please get together and determine if that's going to work for everybody. We got five to baptize. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's you know, I remember there's times, sometimes it'd be maybe years, months, what have you, but you know, I come to church now expecting something to happen, looking for something to happen. Heard many people say that, and you know what a blessing that is. It's not just something you just go and do for a couple hours on a Sunday morning and wait to see what the Lord's going to do, and trying to be prepared for that. And it makes me excited. It gives me a lot of joy and excitement. And again, I can't thank the Lord enough for what He's doing. It's not always like this, doesn't have to be like this, but God is just that good. I've just come to that conclusion so many times over the last few weeks, and I want to say here how thankful I am that the McKinneys are back with us this morning. Praise God. Praise God. You talk about a walking, living, breathing testimony. It's right there. I'm not taking away from anybody else and the things that other people are going through, but I tell you, God's going to do a work right there. I don't know what, but He's going to do a work. And you'll see in the message this morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, we'll look at the first 11 verses there. The title this morning is Joy in God. Joy in God. One of the first things that a new convert needs to learn is how to be excited, how to have joy, how to have expectations in having that relationship with a newly found Savior. You're not under your own anymore. You're not in your own control, so to speak, anymore. You're under new management, and you know there's something exciting about that. And I just pray that the Lord would just make it real to our hearts this morning. There's all kinds of teaching and doctrine in His Word that help us through things, to navigate us through life. And sometimes we ask the why and try to figure things out. And then sometimes when you go to the Word of God and you read it, it makes it so plain. And something I want to say here too, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. The Christian life, any life. Any life is not always easy, but I tell you, the Christian life is better. You think about it like this. Let's say you were going through the things you're going through right now, and you didn't have God in your life. Would that be harder? Think about that. You know, I was thinking about it like this. You know, sometimes we've talked about ups and downs and anxiety and different things that we face, but you know, I got to thinking about it like this. You imagine. We should always be able to be happy about something, have joy about something. Now I got to thinking about it like this. What if every blessing you had was stripped away? Would you still have joy? And then I started counting my blessings, and I'm like, my goodness, my goodness. I know people are going through things, but I tell you, we must learn how to have joy in God. I tell you, I think that's one of the first things as becoming Christians, we need to look at and just remember how to be thankful for what the Lord has done for us and what He's delivered us from. I'm going to read verse 11 and then go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started this morning. And I just pray that just be obedient this morning. Whatever it is that's on your heart that you need to do, please do it. Lost or saved this morning, do what the Lord is asking you to do. That's the most important thing. Verse 11, it says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God." through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. God, I love you, and I can only love you because you first loved me, and I just thank you so much for that. God, I can't help but feel and know in my heart you want to do something. Lord, it seems like things just continually lead to from point to point, God, and I just pray that I'd get myself out of the way, God, first and foremost, and be a willing vessel, obedient vessel to you. And God, I pray for every heart here this morning, God, that you just help them, whatever it is that they need to see, whatever it is they need to learn. God, I believe with all my heart you gave this message for today for a reason, and you allowed everyone to be here today for a reason. Don't ever want to take anything like that for granted. But God, I just thank you for how you work and how you do. I thank you for all your provision in my life and how good you are to me, Lord, knowing I don't deserve anything, God. Just a vile vessel, God. I don't deserve anything. But Lord, I just thank you so much for all your blessings. And God, I thank you for saving me. That's where it starts in every person's life. You give us life, physical life. Then you give us the choice to either accept you or not, Lord. But that's when that opportunity, when it presents itself, when a person accepts that, Lord, that begins a whole new life, a renewed life, God, that you have plans for, you have purposes for, God. And Lord, we just seek that out here this morning. A lot of things we don't understand, and we don't know why, God, but we know you have a greater calling, a greater reason, Lord. It's past our understanding. You know how to pull out from our hearts, elicit responses from us, God, and what you want to achieve in our lives. And God, I just pray that you do that for us here in our church, God. I thank you so much for all of our people here, Lord, our young people, our older ones, God, and the testimony that we have, God. I just thank you so much for that. I thank you for everyone in this church, Lord. I love them, and I thank you for them. God, I pray your blessings upon them and your help and your confidence upon them, God, that we'd always come expecting to see something more from you, our mighty God and our Creator. But God, I pray you help us here today, Lord. Just let your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You look at the book of Romans, if you ever study it, there is so much in the book of Romans. It was one of the first books as being a pastor that I went through and studying, thinking maybe it might be an easier book to start with, looking at the New Testament church epistles and thinking about it along those lines. But this one kind of, you just have a diving board right there at the start, and you just kind of jump off in there, and there's a lot of doctrine in it, and a lot of teaching, a lot of practical spiritual teaching, and a lot on salvation and the newness of life and having a new walk with Christ. And that's basically where we pick up today. When you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you're kind of on part of, and maybe down toward the end of, what we call the Romans Road. And when you're talking about leading someone to the Lord and maybe using the Romans Road, this is on down there a little bit toward the end. And so after a person has accepted Christ, this is some things to expect. This is some things that you should strive for, that you should work for, and always understand the blessing of. I tell you, when you look at this, I believe the older we get, the sweeter it should get. I'd hate to think that it's as good as it gets is the day you get saved. I don't know if you look at it that way and think about it. When I look back on probably one of the very best days of my life, it would have to be the day that I got saved. My eyes were open and I could see things in a completely different way and just maybe have a different understanding, maybe different desires. But don't you think it should get more sweeter as you go on, and that not just be the best day? It should get better and better as you grow in the Lord. And I believe that is what he is talking about here. That's the diving board. That's where we start out. That's where we jump off and we go into deeper and greater things that God has for us. And I said this maybe last week. I want us to remember this. This time that we have on earth, this is the only time that we get to show and extend our true faith in God. This is it. This is the testing ground. This is the battleground. This is what we could actually give to the Lord. Once you're in heaven, these trials, tribulations, troubles, thank God they're gone. They're gone. But you see, while we're walking by faith, this is our time to show the Lord how much we love Him. This is our time to do that. Now, I want to say this. I know there are people here that have had harder times and dealing with things, and I cannot speak from that experience, and I understand that. And I also know, too, we none know what we're going to face moving forward. But here's the thing about it. The Lord knows, and He knows what He wants to accomplish in every single heart here in this church. He knows what He wants to accomplish. I believe that's why He gives us what He gives us in His Word, so He can show us and He can guide us through these things. Now you look at verse number 1. It talks about it here. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's an explanation to the newly justified person, the newly saved person, of where they actually stand, the status of where they are. A person who has lived in condemnation for so long, being lost in just that guilt and condemnation, they're just bound by that, and there is absolutely no hope and there's no joy in that kind of lifestyle. I look back, and again, I was a young person, but I look back when I was lost and at 12 years old and just before accepting God, I remember how hard that time of life was for me. I was constantly in condemnation, just felt guilty all the time. I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling guilty. I don't like that struggle. I don't like that. But here's the thing. If you don't start feeling conviction, then there's not going to be a change. A lot of times we try to run from conviction. But if you're comfortable with things, then you're not going to change what you're doing. I think God makes that uncomfortableness to cause you to move. You know, if you had a certain hard feeling or whatever, you're sitting down and there's a certain position you're sitting in and it hurts, then you'll try to move to get out of that position. See, that's what God does with conviction. He wants you to move. Pretty thing about that, a nice thing about that too, is once you get saved and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, He'll use that to move you in a different way. It's a beautiful thing when the Lord gets it into somebody's heart. Therefore, being justified. And to God, what that means there, that means to prove or to show just. That means that you are now right with God. That's the best place you can be, is right with God. If you're here this morning and you're saved, but you don't feel right, it's because you need to get something out of your life. You need to do something. Something is wrong on your end because it's not wrong on His end. I tell you, there should be some excitement and some happiness and some joy in our lives. And if we're not, it's because there's something wrong on our end. It's not wrong on His end. Therefore, being justified by faith. See how important that is? How much we believe? What we believe? We have peace with God. So what I'm reading here, if you break it down and look at it, the new convert, once you've accepted Christ, you've dealt with that conviction, you've came to the Lord, you've accepted Him, and now you're justified, you're made right by Him because of your faith. See, as a young person like that, as a young Christian, as a newly converted person, you hadn't even had time to do any work yet. See, all that takes place on the inside. Your justification is by your faith, by your believing. It's by your finally understanding that God is right, you are wrong, and now you want to, by faith, want to do what He wants you to do and follow Him. You can only do that by faith. No man has seen God at any time, so what we do for Him, it's by faith. We're trusting that what we do is what He would have for us to do. And the Bible teaches us here that we can have peace with Him. That's a state of quiet and tranquility. I don't see a lot of that anymore. I don't see a lot of that in people's lives. A lot of times what you hear about is the hardships and the trials and things like that, and I believe it's important that we share our burdens one with another, but I believe it's important that we share the good things that God does for us also. Peace and tranquility. When's the last time you had peace or tranquility in your heart? Think about it. I'm not saying anybody here doesn't have that, but when's the last time you really had that in your heart? Seems like we sometimes go from one battle to another, next to the next. But the Bible is teaching here, after being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it always comes back to Him, Brother Remington. It always comes back to Him. Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, you need to. If you don't know Him, you have to. If you want to get to heaven, you have to know who He is. And all this, all that we have, any kind of peace, any kind of justification that we can have, is by Jesus Christ. Now I want you to know this, when He ascended back into heaven, He allowed the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come and dwell in your heart. See, that's where this peace comes from. It comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. You can't make up your own peace from the outside. I want you to know that this morning. There's not enough things to buy. There's not enough places to go, things to do, monies to spend to try to get that from the outside in. True peace comes from the inside out, and it only comes from Jesus Christ. Only. You can try to make up things and chase things, but you're just wasting time. The only real peace you're going to have with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. You look at verse number 2, it says here, by whom we also have access by faith, there's that word again, access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And again, talking about Jesus Christ, whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Now, I love grace. If you've ever been around somebody or people that don't, or maybe critical or don't really extend grace, they're hard to be around because you can't make them happy. Everything you're going to do is be wrong. Neat thing about Jesus Christ, neat thing about God, even in their righteousness and their goodness, He knows how you and I are. He knows how needy we are. He knows how imperfect we are. I want you to see that this morning too. A lot of times we get to the thought maybe God's against us. That couldn't be further from the truth. God is for you. God loves you. God wants the best for you. But the thing about it is, you and I have to align with Him because He's not going to align with us. We don't get God to see things our way and come to see things our way and do things our way. He says, you've got to do it my way. You've got to see me for who I am. Then you can see you for who you are and how much you need me. Isn't that special? Amen, that's special. Somebody would love you that much, care for you that much, that they would do that. Now, and you look at this grace, this access that we have. Talked to a dear preacher friend yesterday. Again, love using analogies, and we're talking about medication and different things. You know, there's different circumstances call for medication, different strengths of medication. I thank God for good medication. I don't know about you, I don't like to hurt. I don't. I think about the old times people have to go to the dentist or something and not have any numbing or anything. That bothers me to think about that. But, you know, we were talking about it. I said, you know, sometimes when you have a headache and maybe it's a milder type thing or something like that, and all you got to do is just maybe take a couple of aspirin. You could put a couple in your hand, you take it, and you drink some water with it or what have you, and you wait for it to enter your system and you get some relief. But you know, there's times in life that's not going to cut it. That's not enough. Sometimes you need it faster than that. So what do you do then? Then they actually have IVs, they have needles, and I don't like those either. But that can get in your system a lot quicker, and that can help you. It's how you dose medicine, how you take it. But now, when you look at things spiritually, I want you to see what this talks about here, by whom we also have access by faith. And so if you're going through something hard this morning, you know how you get extra strength in grace? You know how you do that? You believe more. You know, if you're in the hospital and they say, hey, if you need some medicine, you just press that button, press it. You press it. Well, guess what? You need more help from God, you believe more. Amen. I'm trying to help you this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, say, well, preacher, I just don't know. I just don't know if that's going to help. Have you tried it? What I'm saying is when things get hard and you're in that place and you're facing something so hard, what can you do? Yes, we pray, but we don't only pray, but we extend more faith. That's when you pour on more help. That's the extra strength access that we have, because if you put a little faith forward, I believe you get a little access. If you put a lot of faith forward, I think you're going to have more access. I believe that. Sometimes what you face in life requires a little bit more trust on your part. Everything getting an easy battle that you can kind of take or leave. Some of these battles are so hard, you have no choice but to extend extra strength. Think about that. Extra faith. Extra strength faith. You think about that this morning. This grace wherein we stand. That's what he's talking about. The grace that we stand in, that God has placed us in. We're no longer in a lost position. We're now in a safe position. This is where we stand. You see, as you read these verses, you should start getting a little bit more encouraged as we go. You see an increase here. Look what it says here. This grace wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I like having hope, don't you? Anybody here like to feel hopeless, helpless? You know, in and of myself, I don't have a lot of hope of what I can do. I can have the best intentions. I can try to put forth all my efforts. I can try to do all those things. But if I put hope in myself, I'm going to fall flat, and I already know that. God's already taught me that. God's taught me how weak and how needy that I am. But see what it says here, what it talks about, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And talking about the glory of Him, the goodness of God is what we put our hope in. Has God been good to you? Amen. See, that's what he's talking about. The hope of the goodness that he has, the hope of what he can do for you, how he can help you, is what he's talking about. The hope that we have in him. That's what we stand in. That's how we can rejoice in hope. I love being able to have hope in something that I can look forward to with expectation, knowing that God can help me. Now you look at verse number 3 and verse number 4 and verse number 5. This is where it kind of gets a little bit deeper. You think about times of tribulation. I know the first thing I do if I'm going through a hard time, the first thing I do is say, why? Why? Job, his friends, that's exactly where they went. Why? We want to figure out the why so we can stop doing that and get to a better place in life. You know, I know in the book of Job, we've studied it, and it's never really explained why bad things happen to good people, and therefore matter why good things happen to bad people, but I think you're going to find probably as close as a definition here as anywhere. I don't think anybody likes tribulations. Tribulations is hard time. We're not talking about the tribulation. We're talking about tribulations. We're talking about severe afflictions, hardships. Things that break you down to the core, that you're talking about hard things that you have no choice but to pray because your hands are tied and you physically can't do something. You can't do it yourself. You need help. You think, what in the world could any kind of good come from that? Did you know God has a purpose for every tribulation you face? Did you know that? Tribulations have a purpose. And I tell you, it's hard. But I thank God that it's in His Word. I thank God that He placed it in His Word for us to see. Tribulations actually have a place in our lives, in the life of a Christian. Verse number 3, and it says, and I'll read 2 because it leads into it. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That just don't make sense. It goes from saying we don't only glory in the goodness of God and the good things that He does for us and He prepares for us and He gives to us, but we also glory in the hard times. Anybody here ever glory in something bad? I'm not talking about something bad happening to an end. I'm talking about to yourself. When something bad happens, if you're going through something bad right now, have you found anything good in it? Or is it just why, God, why is it that it don't ever seem? It seems like we're getting ready to take the plane off and then all of a sudden it keeps hitting back on the runway. Why can't we just take off? Why does it keep bouncing off the ground? You ever feel like that? See, God knows what we go through, but He's explaining to us right here, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I don't know anybody that couldn't use more patience. That's myself included. This world that we live in, the life that we have now, is anti-patience. Everything's faster. Everything. We want everything to be faster, more convenient. You don't want to wait on anything. And I tell you what, that doesn't help our patience at all. It makes it worse. If you're used to clicking a button and then having whatever that is, I mean, you know, you can DoorDash it now. You don't have to fight traffic. You can buy your groceries online and you can go pick it up without having to wait. If that's not fast enough, you can order it and have them delivered to your house. You don't have to go out at all. You can just stay at home. And then in some of these cities and places they live, they have same-day delivery. And then you also have, you look at internet service, faster, faster, faster. That's what everything is about, faster. So if you look at this life and how it's set up, it's anti-patience. Turns out patience is a very important thing with God. Very important thing. If we had everything good all the time, instantly, I promise you, we'd never appreciate what God does for us. And if you don't believe me, look at the United States. As things have gotten more convenient, things in the Christian life has seemingly gotten less and less and less. We'll say this, I could not be more thankful than to see these groups of young people coming on board and really wanting to learn more about God. That blesses my heart. I'm telling you, I know it's been said like this, we older ones need to teach the younger ones how to have revival. I'll tell you what, they're seeking it out on their own. I want you to know that. Here's the beautiful thing about the truth. You share the truth with anybody and they accept it, they can have it. It's a whosoever. It's a powerful thing when you look at it that way. Who wants it, gets it. You come to him with childlike faith, you can have it. He'll make it known to you. He'll show it to you. But you look at these tribulations and spend so much time trying to figure out why. And it's not about the preacher, and I won't tell you that, but it comes a time when you really want to help people, but you see things going on in life and you want to take hands on it yourself and fix it yourself. What I found out is how incapable of doing things I am. God, can we not do something? God, what can I do? God, please help this cause. God, please do something. But he says here that we can glory in tribulations. That as we're going through something hard, this is my take on it. If you can stop for just a minute, and I know it hurts, if you can stop for just a minute and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this experience? What do I have to grow from this? We're not asking why. But Lord, how can I grow from this? I believe this. I believe the deeper tribulations that we go through can also equal a deeper relationship that we can have with the Lord. And some people say right there, I'm just happy with the relationship I got right now. I'm good. But I tell you, don't always run from what God is trying to do in your life. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The importance of us being able to wait for something with expectation, but without murmuring, without complaining, is what patience means. And you go from patience. If you have patience, then you have the experience. Now, experience is just as important as the patience part, because the longer sometimes you wait for something, the greater expectation you have of receiving it. Again, if it's instant like this, you don't really appreciate it so much. But if I've heard people testify like this, I've been praying for this person for 20 years, and finally they accepted Christ, or finally they got right, or finally whatever that prayer was. But you know what a joy it is when that prayer is finally answered. But you look at that word experience. Experience, that means a trial to prove something. God wants to prove something in your life. If you're going through a trial, He is wanting to prove something in your life. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. All I can do is share with you what the Bible says. And that you can pull from it the conclusion that you want to, but this is what the Word of God says. And it's saying here, patience, experience. Have you ever experienced things in your life? Has the Lord ever proved Himself to you before? If He hasn't, have you ever been saved? I'll ask you that. There's times in my life I've just had to stop and just thank God and say, my goodness, Lord, you knew. You knew how this was going to be. You knew this day was going to come. You knew who I needed in my life, and you set all this up. Only God could have set those things up. I tell you, He proves Him, not that He has to, but He proves Himself to me every day. talking to Brandy, I believe it was yesterday. He's like, how in the world could somebody not see how real God is? How he changes lives and what he does for people. But I want you to know this morning, your trial does have a purpose. And it's talking about experience. God wants to prove something in your life. I've asked why on things, and I've not faced what other people have faced. But I tell you, when a person is going through a trial, other people take note. Other people are watching. Now, some people are better spectators than others. Some people want to say, well, they're deserving of it. They've done something. They're up to something. They deserve it. Other people say, I just want to see what the Lord is going to do. I want to see what he is going to do in this situation. I know these people, and I know these people are not deserving of what's going on. But the Lord's wanting to do something. And you see, he's talking about experience. And then he goes on to say here, and experience hope. After you've experienced a few things, young Christian, I want you to know this. After you've experienced a few trials, after you've seen this cycle of tribulation, patience, experience, one thing you'll come to find out is you now have hope. Well, how in the world can I have hope? Because remember that bad situation that you were going through when God delivers you from it? Guess what? You have no choice but to have hope now. Because he's proved himself to you. He's made himself real to you. He's made himself known to you. You actually have a foundation now that you can build off of and that you can grow. That's what he's talking about. See, that's how the Christian life is supposed to go. And you know what? If you have hope, hope is a slight expectation. You're expecting something with the at least a slight expectation that you're going to get it. You look at verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. I tell you, I don't want anybody to go around feeling shame for what they believe in this morning if they believe in God and the power that they have in God. I don't want any believer, you remember Paul saying that he is not ashamed. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not trying to hide it. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. See, that's true joy. That's true joy. When a person is going through the hardest circumstances of their life and they can still have joy in their heart, that's produced by the Holy Spirit. That's real joy. That's real joy. Boy, I thought we'd be shouting by now. We'd be getting ready to close. I'm telling you. This is as good as it gets on this side of earth, on this side of eternity. I want you to know that. If this ain't good, is God really good or not? Amen. I mean, think about it. If you have any peace at all, I was walking in the driveway yesterday, and I was just standing there, and I had my shorts and t-shirt on. I thought, man, it feels good out here. This is my kind of weather. And I was thinking, in about 2 or 3 months, it won't be like that. And then I got to thinking. I just stood there a minute. And I just need to thank God that it's as good as it is in my life in that moment. It could be so many different circumstances. So many different things in our life. And I know people have experienced things, but we better learn how to praise God that it's as good as it is in our life, or we're just not being thankful at all. If you start thinking about God stripping away the blessings that you have in your life, you will realize how many blessings you really have. You say, my goodness, I don't know. Well, look what it says here. As you go down verse 6 and 7, you think about what it was like for those who are lost. You think back, saved person, what it was like when you were lost. Verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what that without strength means? A lost person is strengthless. What strength do you have? Lost person, what they have at that point in time is the arm of flesh. And what does the song say? That arm of flesh will fail you. That's all you have. All you have is hope in self and hope that maybe things will work out. Hope that maybe you'll have a good day. Hope, but there's nobody to pray to. If you're trusting in the flesh, this is all you got. He's talking about here somebody being able to see how needy that we are. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ seeing that from the foundation of the earth, in due time came all the way down to the cross, all the way down to the virgin birth, all the way down when Jesus Christ came. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's when he went to the cross. He saw that in us. Yet he loved us enough because we're just that good. He loves good people, doesn't he? Amen. Not supposed to be. Look what it says here. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man will some even dare to die. He's saying here, you know, it's one thing to think about dying for somebody good, somebody worthy, yet we more than likely probably wouldn't do that even if they were worthy of that. But look at verse number 8 right here. Look at verse number 8 and 9. Number 8 specifically, but God commendeth his love toward us in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he saw us in our evil state. He said, he looked down, he saw us in our evil condition, our evil state, all these troubles and trials, everything that's going on in our life. And he says, there's got to be a better way for these people. There has to be something better for these people. You know, you say, well, you get saved by love. You get saved by grace. For by grace are you saved. Because God loves everybody. But it's his grace and those who accept his grace that actually get saved. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to be something good before he died for us. He knew how evil we are. He said, I'll die for you anyway. I don't want us to ever lose sight of that. If you lose sight of that one thing, you'll lose sight on how to be thankful for what you have and what he's done. He commended his love. He gave his love toward us. He extended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, then it goes on to say, verse number 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's how you're saved, through his blood. That's the cross, remember? Jesus came, he died on the cross. Worst death that anybody could go through. You think he cares about your and mine happiness? You think he cares about our well-being? I want to tell you this morning, he does. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your hardship, but at the same time, those tribulations have a purpose. There's an experience that's coming out of that. But if you're saved this morning, it's because you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And we'll be saved from wrath through him. Look at verse number 10. For if we then were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now if you break that down just a little bit, again, you go back at the beginning, we were enemies with God. We couldn't have any peace with God. There was no peace there. And if you don't have peace with God, I want to tell you this morning, you really don't have any peace at all. You're trying to look for the next thing to pick you up. When you truly have peace with God on the inside, you have it. You're not looking for it. You already have it. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's the gospel. When you start looking at what we needed the death. It cost the death of Jesus Christ for us to have peace. He cares about our well-being that much that he was willing to die for it. He was willing to go to the cross for it, and by his death, by his resurrection shall we be saved by his life. Verse number 11, I'm closing with this. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That atonement, that's the reconciliation. Now, I tell you, if you wanted to align with somebody that can truly help you through whatever it is that you're going through, I want you to know this morning, it's the Creator, God himself. And if you're lost, you don't have access to the Creator. I mean, really follow this. You say, I need help this morning. I'm going through something. Maybe you're lost. You say, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to have peace with God. This is how you get it. It's only through Jesus Christ. I don't have access to God without Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in that, if you haven't believed in him yet, you can. That's what he's teaching here. And not only so, but we also joy in God. That's the excitement that we have of something good. That's the hope that we have is in God, the creator of this world. In God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, after Jesus went to the cross, that's how we can be reconciled. Putting our faith, putting our confidence in Jesus Christ. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come.